Big welcome to everyone that's listening in to this call today. And my name is Alan Hilsinger from the beautiful Gold Coast, Australia. I know we've got people from all over the world listening in, from America, Canada, Australia, Asia, South America, all over the world. So welcome to you all. It is my absolute pleasure to be taking this call today. And with me, I have the beautiful and amazing three-star Golden Circle Crystal Executive, Nicole Robertson. How are you, Nicole?
Hey, Alan. I am good. How are you doing?
Really, really good. So for people that have never heard your story or listened to you before, I just want to give them a real quick background on you. You're a former consultant for small to medium businesses. Is that correct? So can you sort of take us through a little bit of that, where you came, how you came about joining Isagenix, and obviously where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, like you just touched on, you know, majority of my working or career background was working with a business coaching company. So my role on a daily basis was to go out and speak with small to medium-sized business owners. So owners, directors, company heads, all of that. And really it was about getting into their world and understanding their business and then obviously providing them solutions with coaching. So I did that for probably close to 4 years. So it was huge learning, as you know, I was in my early 20s. So learned a lot about business, about communication, about relationships, all of that stuff. And then from there, actually went on to work for myself, just contracting work. And not long after doing that, Catch, who a lot of people might have heard of on this call, who I used to also work with at the business coaching company, he was actually the one who came and shared Isagenix with me. So initially it wasn't about the business side because I was already working for myself in business, but it was about, you know, just the products, the health side. So that's where I initially started, but it didn't take long for, I guess, light bulb moments to go off and get started with the full opportunity of Isagenix as well.
Awesome. And for you guys that are out there, Nicole has actually gone through a real journey, and we're going to touch on some of that today. So this call is going to be a little bit about some of the different places that Nicole's been in, linked into Isaderby. And the exciting news for Nicole and the rest of her team is that Nicole's team just finished number one in Australia and New Zealand in the Isaderby. And even more excitingly for Nicole is that all 8 out of 8 people in your team qualified. So I'm really excited to hear how that came about, some of the strategies that you used to engage your team. So firstly, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's it was an amazing 14 weeks, and to have, you know, everyone over the line and everyone qualified is the best outcome we could ask for. So I'm so excited for everyone, whole team.
And for those listening on the call, so for those that don't know Isaderby, if you're brand new, the Isaderby is a competition. They have it across different countries. It's also called Isa Rally throughout Asia, and it is about getting a team together and running together and going for a goal of winning a trip to, for this one, it was to Las Vegas. Other Isaderbys, they have different competitions as well across there. But, Nicole, for you, it never started this way. Like, you're 18 months into the business now, and you finished number one in Australia, New Zealand. But what I'd really love you to share, what most people probably don't realize, is that your previous Isaderby experiences have been very, very different to this one. I know the first Isaderby, you joined just after the Isaderby had begun, so you weren't even eligible, and you shot through to executive in a really fast time. Then your second Isaderby was what you term yourself as a pretty much a flop. And then
disaster.
You went on to your third Isaderby to qualify, being a leader and qualifying, and then now to being number one in ANZ. Take us through how that journey has actually been for you and some of the learnings that you've actually experienced, because I know there's probably a lot of people out there that have never experienced an Isaderby or that are really wanting to grow into that leadership role.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the first derby that I was in, like you said, you know, when I'd gotten started, a derby had already started. So I went to exec quite quickly. So by the time the next derby had come around, as an executive, I had to choose my team. You know, I had to be that leader and choose my team and put my own team in. But it's interesting, just because I was executive didn't mean that I had that team, ready to go. It didn't mean I had that leadership skill or I even really understood what derby was. Literally, Alan, like, I was amateur of all amateurs in that first derby. Like, if I look back at how I set it up, so here's the thing, that first derby, it was like, the setup wasn't there. It was like I didn't understand what derby really was in the sense of what it could do for myself, for my business, for my team. Like, I didn't understand it. And not even derby. Like, I didn't understand the purpose of 90-day runs or short-term sprints. You know, I just didn't get what that was. I think, like, the first conversations I was having, it was all about, like, the fun of what derby could be. And I was putting a team together based on that, right? So it was a complete flop. I think I got about 4 weeks in and I was like looking around and I'm like, where is everyone? You know, like, it was just a complete flop. And then the second derby, so what changed from the first to the second is the second I decided that we were going. So there was that difference in mindset of making a decision that my team is winning derby. We are going on derby. And from that first one, it was learning the strategy, like, you know, having people like yourself and Larry and people who have been through derbies before, actually learning from you guys to go, what is the strategy with derby? Like, how do we have to actually do this? What's the best way to, you know, to focus on the first month, the second month, the third month? Like, what are the strategies? So that was the difference between the first and the second. And I would say, you know, the biggest change between all of them was this last derby. It went from knowing, or I would say deciding to knowing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just I knew that we were going, and there was this, nearly this knowing of we will be number one. And I don't know how to explain that, but I'm sure anyone on the call, whether it's you're going for a rank advancement or you're going for a certain amount of enrollments or whatever it is, if you have a knowing, then everything does fall into place. But if you have an uncertainty, then you're not going to be clear on it. You're not going to be able to get there. So it's like the third derby I knew. And, you know, the confidence of me as a leader, like the confidence of you as a leader, will determine your team's commitment. So with me knowing, it was like the team was strapped in, ready to go. They were committed. Because if I was wavering, if I was a little bit unsure about it, I'm sure that their commitment level wouldn't have been as high as what it was as well.
Love that. Deciding and knowing, the big difference there. That's huge. So for people there, so obviously that empowerment that you had, the conversation that you're having with people, it's been a progression, it's been a skill, it's been something that you've really worked on. And as you said, like, you did seek out the information. It wasn't like you just sat back there and gone, well, that derby didn't work, I might try something different this time. You actually went, and I know for a fact, like, you came to Larry and I and said, how are you guys winning derbies? How are you doing this? You spoke to Catch, you spoke to other people. More so, what I want to know is, that to me, I listen to that and I go, what an awesome lesson for people out there to know if something's not working, don't just keep trying to do different things. Go and find somebody that has had success in that area and find out what they've done and adapt that. Am I right in saying that's pretty much
exactly that's it? You know, we're talking about derby for that, but that applies to everything. And I think the other thing, Alan, is so many people don't give themselves a chance to go on the journey. You know, whether it's with derby or whether it's just in their business, they don't give themselves the chance to go through all the no's, all the crap, all the challenges to get to the good stuff. You know, so it was making that commitment of, the first derby was an absolute flop. I was an amateur, but that wasn't the end game for me. There was a second derby. There's a third. There's going to be a fourth. You know, but you have to give yourself the opportunity to go through the journey, like go through the whole thing, screwing it up, making the mistakes, learning from others, understanding the actual process, knowing how
enjoying
to empower
the
people.
Learning
all
from
that comes
it.
With just, it's a whole journey. And it's taken me, you know, three derbies to get where I am.
Oh, I love that. So from there then, so, you know, you've gone through that journey yourself. I want to know, and I know there's people on this call listening that want to know, you have eight out of eight people qualify for derby. And I stand corrected, but I believe that you guys are possibly the only team in Australia that had all eight people qualify. And that's massive. I know in the previously when it used to be six people, just having six qualify was a massive thing and it was a pretty rare thing for people to do it. I have no doubt that part of that was in the setup. And for me, I look at that and go, clearly you are saying, doing something right in the setup with the people that you're engaging. And this is not just for derbies then, that people can take lessons from this for derbies, for 90-day game plans, for rank advancements, for empowering people that just turn around and say, I'm in, I want it. What does that conversation actually look like is what I'd love to know.
Yep. It is 100% in the setup. And like you said, it relates to everything. It even relates to just helping someone get started on the 30-day cleanse. If you get to the end and they're not there, you need to go right back to the start, rebuild the relationships, redo the setup, go back to the conversation. So for me, that's the biggest thing that I know was different, is it was the setup. So there is sharing the vision, like casting the vision for people, but then you also need to share the reality. So that was the difference. My first one, it was all about the fluff. It was all about the fun, the what's possible, the all of this stuff, right? Yeah, we need
hey
to
guys,
share the vision of what's possible.
Hey, guys, let's do this
possible.
Together and we'll go to Las Vegas or that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. You need to share a vision for people and individually for that person. But what can be missing is people don't paint the reality of what it's going to take. So that was the difference in my conversation, because here's the thing, you know, being in derby doesn't necessarily mean that you are automatically going to explode your business and grow your business just because you're in derby. Like, it takes effort. So growing your business doesn't just happen by participating in derby. Like, it's painting the reality of what it's going to take, the challenges that you're going to come up against, how we're going to have to work together as a team, and is that person committed to doing that for 14 weeks? Or 30 days, or 60 days, you know, if you're doing short-term sprints with, you know, groups of five or whatever it is. So I think that can be a missing link, is sometimes we're casting this vision and we're sharing the vision, but we're not painting the reality. So when people come up against stuff, they're out. People wonder why people stop after 4 to 6 weeks in derby. It's because you never showed them what their reality is going to be over 14 weeks. Whereas if you're preempting that, if you're showing this is what it's going to take, I guarantee you, you're going to go through these downs and these ups. Like, this is what will happen, but this is what's on the other side of that. Then when they come up against that challenge in 3 weeks, it comes up and they go, oh, yeah, Nick said this would happen. Okay, this sucks, but it's come up. Cool. Means I'm on track. Versus, oh, well, they didn't tell me it was going to be this hard. I just want the good stuff. You know, so it's painting the vision but sharing the reality.
I'm just thinking, just as you talk there, Nick, and I'm just thinking in the off my head, exactly what you said. This is, as I'm hearing you say this, sharing the vision, it's not just for the business, it's the product as well, isn't it? Because it's like sharing the vision of what's possible for them to achieve if they stick to it and they go through it, but then painting what the reality of that journey of 30, 60, 90, et cetera, days to their goal and beyond is... So do you have specific questions that you ask? How do you get to that? Like, how do you, you know, you've painted the vision and you know what they want to achieve. Like, how do you get to that? And then secondly, like, how do you bring it up and go, hey, by the way, yes, we go to Las Vegas, but it's going to be tough. Like, how do you incorporate that into a conversation?
Well, it's real. The first thing, it's just about relationships. You know, you've got to have a relationship with your team. And it's about having that open conversation, because all of them have different driving factors. Like, we know that. You know, I've got all eight of us are going, but everyone has different driving factors. And it's about knowing what that is for that person. So it's an individual vision being casted for them. But, you know, I remember one of the guys in my team, we had this conversation and he had to walk away and go and chat with his wife and go, okay, are they up for this commitment? Because that, you know, you can cast the vision, but it's about having the posture to say, this is what's going to be required from you for the team. Are you in? You know, it's not that I want you. You don't need someone, but you need their commitment. Mm. So it's about, yes, you can cast the vision, but also getting their commitment to go through what that 14 weeks is really going to look like. So, you know, that conversation is just real and raw, and it might take them going to chatting with their partner and going, here's what the next 90 days is going to be. Like, it's going to be me sacrificing. You know, it's going to be me spending less time with you guys at night. It's going to be me spending, you know, some of my weekend doing this. Because once they then commit to that, they own it. You know, they own that. It's not you just trying to get someone in from excitement, because that won't last. that just won't last. They need to own their decision.
I love that. That's absolutely awesome. Thank you so much. So from there, then, you've got the people's commitment, and clearly you have an amazing relationship with all of your people, and you do have that conversation. I'm guessing that you remind them of that conversation throughout the journey as well. In that journey, for the Ice Derby in Australia was around 90 days, which is awesome because that's like a 90-day game plan.
Yeah.
I know there's people out there that are using the five-cycle bonuses, that, you know, little small run groups and things like that. What do you do in that 90 days? So you've engaged them, they're committed, they're going through it. Mm-hmm. What do you as a leader, what do other people, you know, growing into leadership roles do in that 90 days to keep people engaged and to keep them growing? Like, what are some of the key core
the key things that I would pull out? Okay, so first it starts with self. Like, first it starts with me, right? So it's kind of like what you were saying before, is that I would reach out to you and Larry and people who have been successful in derbies, in 90-day game plans, in rank advancing, who's growing, who's doing what you want to do. So here's the thing, is that you need to do what you want done. So there is no use me being there.
Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? You need to do.
You need to do what you want done. So I need to reach out to the other leaders, up, down, sideways. I need to enroll. I need to rank advance. You know, I need to bring the energy, bring the consistency, go through the challenges. Because if I'm not doing that, I can't expect them to do it either. So that's the first thing, is setting that pace as a leader and, you know, doing what you want done. So that's always number one for me. I would also say, here's the thing that I love to do, is that, and I don't know if it's a leadership style, I'm not sure, I haven't even worked that out yet, but for me, I feel it's more important to create the space for the team rather than just give them, you're not responsible for people's outcomes. Like, you are not responsible for everyone winning and everyone getting the outcome, but you as a leader are responsible for the space you create for them. And what I mean by that is a space you create for their input and their leadership and their contribution and their culture. So it wasn't my team, it was the whole team. You know, it was breeding leaders through that. It was having them step up and say, how are we going to help this person get over the line? What are some ideas that we can do together? So I think that that's important, is that I didn't feel like it was just my responsibility to have every single person win, but it's my responsibility to create the space so they can win, if that makes sense.
Mm, it does, and does. And I think about that again, and I come back and go, it's the same with rank advancing and creating that residual income. It's about creating that space.
It is,
and
right?
I'm just taking notes as I'm talking to you. I'm taking notes and going, it's so
it
true.
Is.
Create
it's
that
the
space.
Same with even getting that's someone started on the cleanse. Like, in everything that we do, and I say this to my team, you be 100% committed, but do not be attached. So be 100% committed to the person, to the team, to your goals, what you're doing, but you can't be attached.
I love that. And then once you create that space, what are some of the things that you guys are doing as a team and sharing and as far as actions go as well, did you basically say to the team, hey, here's the key action that I recommend. This is what I want, not want you guys to do, but what I suggest you guys to do as well?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think the thing is, whether it's in derby or whether you're, you know, running with a group of five people over 60, 90 days, is that there are so many things that you can do. Like, you can't come into this business and say, well, I don't know what else to do, I've done everything, because there is so much, and it might be all the same stuff, but it never ends, right? So sometimes it can be overwhelm. So I think the responsibility of you is, well, for me, it was knowing from reaching out to you guys what the strategy looks like. From your experience, what should we be focusing on right now? You know, getting off your own ego, thinking that, okay, well, I have to be the one that sets all the tasks and delegates it. Like, that's just not how it works. It's reaching out and finding what other people do that works, and then passing that on to your team. So people can get into overwhelm. So, you know, it was important for us to meet every single week on Zoom and talk about our numbers. get clarity around our numbers, but then also talk about as a team, what could we focus on this week? Is it adding, you know, 20 people each? Like, is that our number to our Facebook page? You know, the cleansing Facebook page? Is it, you know, reaching out to 10 people each day on our list? Just giving a little bit of direction for clarity, because otherwise people get into overwhelm. But one thing, you know, that we were all over as a team was our numbers, you know, because I think that we can talk about what's possible. You know, we can talk about how you're going to get to, you know, that rank or how you're going to get that many points. But someone needs to actually see how it's going to be done. So they can see what could be possible, but they need to see the how. So we were very big on knowing your numbers, like an actual business. So knowing your actuals, which is where you are right now, and then knowing what you have projected, so in your pipeline. And what I mean by projected is 90% certainty plus. You know, who is hot, who is going consultant, but you're 90% sure. But then also understanding that even though you think that that's what's in the pipeline, we know that that's not necessarily what happens. So understanding what percentage won't be coming through and therefore what you need to create to make that difference. So we were very much all over our numbers every single week. You know, we were very clear on where we all stood, and everyone knew everyone's numbers, because that's where you create a space for another leader to come up and help that person out. It didn't necessarily have to be me. I wasn't necessarily the best person to do it with one of the team. It could have been someone else. So knowing the numbers, creating that team culture, like I said, like creating that space for people to operate in and step up in as leaders, that was key for us. And then giving some direction without overwhelm. You know, just focusing on what we, you know, what I look at as leading indicators, which are like the KPIs, because too often it's like people are caught up in the end results and they get frustrated by it. They're caught up with how many people they're personally enrolling or how many people they're rank advancing, but that's the end outcome. It's a lagging indicator, which you can't change unless you focus on the actions that make that change. So it's, well, how many new people are you talking to? How many people are you adding to Facebook?
What are those? Sorry, just go again there, Nicole.
So your leading indicators affect your outcome, right? So there's things like
for you are
just saying. So how many people are you taking to an event? You know, how many new conversations you're starting each day? How many people new people you're adding to your list each day? Your Facebook posting? How many people are you adding to your Facebook cleansing group? How many people are you inviting to your launch party? So all of those are where people need to focus their energy, because that makes the change in the outcome rather than just focusing on the outcome.
So for people that are sitting on this call right now listening in that are like, oh, I'm just not getting the results that I want. I'm just not getting the results that I want. I'm taking it from that. What you're really saying is forget about the outcome. Let the outcome go. And get focused on the actual key indicators that are going to create the outcome.
Yes, 100%.
Love that.
Yep. Put your energy there. Yeah.
Brilliant. And so throughout the journey, you know, for you yourself, where's the balance? Like, you're in 90 days, you've committed 90 days, you've committed to this team in Isoderby, and there's people out there that are doing, you know, 5-cycle groups and this kind of stuff. Where's the balance between, for you personally, between that commitment to them, your own key indicators that you're just talking about there, and then other people in your team? Like, how do you work that out? Like, what do you do there?
I would say I'm still finding what this thing called balance is, if that exists. But I think it's about going back to that 80-20 rule. You know, if you're unsure, then go back to the 80-20. You know, you need to be spending 80% of your time on the things that affect the outcome, on the people that produce the results. That's where you need to be spending your time. So, you know, like I said before, it's, you know, you get into this business and the more you go on your journey, the more there actually is to do. And so it's so important just to know where to spend your time and your energy. But I just go back to the 80-20 rule. You know, who are the people that are reaching out to me? Because they're the ones that are doing what I'm doing. You know, everyone's wanting it. Very few are willing to do it. So I really think it's just about knowing where to spend your time, spending it on the leading indicators, the actions that are going to affect the results, rather than using up your energy worrying about the results, and on the people who are doing the people who are reaching out to you. Stop trying to pull everyone. You know, I'm still learning that. You know, I'm still going through that journey. So if that's what balance is, that's my balance right now, is just being clear on that.
I love that. And it sort of brings it back to where, from the very start, if you're building the relationship with people and having that genuine, open commitment conversation, whether it be for the product, for the business, or anything else, then you actually probably have a great idea on who is the 80%, the 20%.
Yeah.
Because of that conversation.
Oh, 100%. Right? Yep. 100%. And I think it comes back to, like, I still always remind myself, be 100% committed to each person but not attached. And that makes that 80-20 rule quite clear. You know, like, you want so much for other people, but you can't make it happen for them. I think, like I said before, you just need to create the space for them to be able to step into to make that happen. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
been a big gum. I've written that down a few times.
Yeah.
I've written space, create space, create space. So then going from that, for you as a builder, obviously, as you said, you're still going through very much a journey yourself. You're the first one to say, you know, look, I'm open to learning, and you are one of the most coachable people I've ever met. For somebody that has a lot of posture and confidence, you listen and you're always seeking out the information. I know myself that you have continued to enroll and probably enroll at a higher rate now than what you did at the beginning of this journey. Yet a lot of people I know that are on this call are in the opposite space. They might have got off to a great start in their journey with the excitement and the energy that they had, family, friends, warm market, and they enroll, and then they have this dip. It's that, you know, network marketing dip where it's like, oh, okay, now it's real. Now it's real network marketing. How have you journeyed through that to get, like, I know you've gone through that little bit of a dip, to be in a space where you are enrolling at a really significantly strong rate?
Yep. You know what? It comes back to your mindset on it. So here's the thing, is that I still get no's. I still get people who don't maybe answer messages or calls or whatever it is. But I don't even really acknowledge it. Like, if someone was to say, like, how many no's are you getting weekly? I'm like, I don't know. Like, probably heaps. But it's not in my space because I have a mindset of abundance. And that's where people need to go through that journey. You know what? That's why I meant before, when I said before, you have to give yourself the opportunity to go through the whole journey. There's a reason they say this is a minimum 5-year commitment, is because it's not all going to happen in the 6 months that most people hope for. Like, you need to go through those ups and downs. And it all starts with mindset. Like, I don't focus on the no's. I know that they're there, but they don't take any energy from me. Because there's this abundance. There's this abundance of people. There's this abundance of opportunity. So that's where my energy goes. I think that, you know, we talk about the 5-year commitment in network marketing because here's the thing. We're in a world of this instant gratification, you know, and we're in a business, really, especially I would say in Australia as well, maybe because network marketing is kind of new, or, you know, people are just kind of getting in touch with it, and we're thinking it needs to happen, like, straight away overnight. But I don't know about you, Alan, but one of my longest ever follow-ups has been 14 months. 14 months. Yeah. So from the initial contact and talk about Isagenics through to that person starting has been 14 months. So people are expecting things to happen because we have this need for instant gratification, but we need to let go and understand this is a 5-year plan. So I know everything that I did 18 months ago is still coming through now. That's why I don't have a concern about running out of people. I don't have a concern about getting no's or being attached to no's because there is too much other stuff. There are too many other people to help. And it's doing the little things, like I continually add to my list. I continually connect with new people. You know, I continually do the things that I always did 18 months ago, but maybe even at a higher pace. Maybe I still do it at a higher pace now because I don't have as much as attachment. But you've got to let yourself, you know, give yourself the opportunity to go through the journey.
I love that. And I take it as well, like, knowing you But at the same time, you're always seeking out how people are doing this as well, correct? Like if you know that somebody's continually enrolling, you're seeking it out and going, I just saw you rank a
dancer,
I want to
know.
I just saw you do this, congratulations, what are you doing? Type of thing and learning.
Yeah, what are you doing? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think people get caught up in the why isn't this happening for me compared to, okay, well, if it's happening for you, what are you doing? You know, like there's two questions that can be asked when you're in that situation. Why is it happening to me? Or how are you making it happen? And most people fall into the why is it happening to me? Why isn't it working?
Yeah, and that's a real comparison type of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've
been guilty of that, by the way. Alan, I should drop disclaimers all through my, like, presentations and interviews. Like, you know, the only reason I get to say these things is because I've been through those things.
Yeah, totally. And you've gone through that and you've learned that and you haven't made yourself wrong from it. You've learned from it.
Yeah.
Totally. The last thing I want to really touch on, because I know that you're great at this, and for anyone that's listening to this call, if you have not listened to Nicole, she has another Take Action podcast, which is on timeline questioning. So if you search Nicole Robertson, you'll see another Take Action podcast. And that's one of the reasons that we really wanted to get Nicole back onto a call, was to talk about this leadership, is because she's amazing at questioning. So go and have a listen to that if you're ever wondering how do you get deeper into relationships. You've heard Nicole talk about it starts with a relationship. And you might even be wondering, how can you get this commitment off these people? I can't even get these relationship questions. Go and have a listen to that. But what I do want to touch on with you, Nicole, is what's the setup process? Because this is one question I know we get often. The big question of when somebody joins your business, what's the setup process? So you've talked about the conversation. What is the actual setup process?
Yep.
Are there some tips you can give some people just to enhance the relationships, on little things that you can do to build that relationship, to deepen that ability to have those commitment conversations?
Yeah, well, okay, so this is really good timing because I have a girl in my team, Emma Stewart. She is a young gun. I love her. And she has, so her conversion from personally enrolled to someone interested in the business or wanting to share is actually really high. So I'm actually getting her to share on our team call as well with, you know, with what it is, like how she thinks. Like there's something with her mindset, there's something with her energy, with how she speaks around it all to have that higher conversion. But it's perfect because it's what I've been doing with her in the last week. So, you know, if she has someone, or I do, or anyone in the team, it doesn't matter. It is, okay, so she has someone who's interested in maybe doing the business. Is that what you mean, Alan? Like
Yeah. I do both.
Yeah,
like
okay.
Obviously they're in there, you loving the product, and they're like, yeah, I'm interested in sharing.
Yes.
Like what do I need to
yeah,
do? Because
perfect.
Obviously if you don't get them off to a start, quite often they can just disappear, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Perfect.
They haven't really got going on the business.
Yep.
They're out. Yeah, so definitely.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. So the first thing, so for example with Emma, is she gets them straight on a 3-way Zoom call with myself or with a third party, with you, Alan, with whoever the right person for them is. And the reason why is she's getting herself out of the way. And we know this, guys, like this isn't new. I'm not sharing brand spanking new stuff here. This is, we know the power of the third party. But she hooks me straight up with a 3-way Zoom call or phone call. I like Zoom because I actually like seeing people face-to-face and kind of connecting with them. Yeah, I really love 3-way Zoom business calls. And on that call, the first thing is yes, you can cast a vision, but the first thing is understanding what that vision needs to be for that person. And you can't do that until you pull out that information from them, right? Because when we say business builder, there's all different types of business builders. Like some people just want to earn that extra couple of $100 a week. Some people are coming in and ready to build an empire. So the way I speak to each of those is going to be very different. The intensity that I set each person up with, or how you know much I hold their hand and really run with them, is going to be different. So, but just to take you through the steps, it would be a 3-way Zoom call to get that information out of that person, build that relationship, understand what they want, and it could be as simple as, look, over the next 90 days, what would make the biggest difference to you? You know, is it this amount of money? Is it a certain amount of money? Is it, you know, replacing, you know, a part-time income? You know, maybe it's like a mum who, you know, works as a cleaner, or like whatever it might be, right? So what is it that's going to make the biggest difference over the next 90 days? But then there's a few steps. So no matter the intensity of if they're ready to build an empire or if they just want to kind of get started and earn a couple of $100 a week, it's still the same steps. So from there, it's, you know, there's three different ways to obviously share and build this business, which is through launch parties. It's through face-to-face, which is making that list and calling them or getting in contact with them face-to-face. And then there's social media. So I go through all of those. And then I ask them which one do they feel they'd be more confident with. And if they're wanting to really go for it, they want to do all three. But not just that, is that's where we can then leave people. You need to direct people. People love to follow. So you need to lead them. So it would be cool. Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do a Facebook post and I'm going to help you do it. So they might write that up, but they will always send it to me and I hold their hand through it and I say, this is how we do it and this is why we do it. And then they'll post that up and then we give them all the love and the support on that. Then they might write a list of 10 to 20 people who they have a great relationship with and they want to share what they've been doing and invite them into our Facebook cleanse group to check it out and see if it might be for them as well. And those same people are the same people that you would invite to your launch party. So there's like, it's just Zoom call. Here are the three ways that we share. And here, I'm going to lead you to do a couple of them with me now. It's kind of like that first few weeks, the first 3 to 4 weeks is like, I'm going to take your business and this is how we're going to do it. And then in a month, I'm going to hand it back to you. Because then they're going to see how they, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt there for a second. Just on that, as I'm hearing you talk about this is, it comes back to what you're talking about with overwhelm. And I think sometimes people come into this business or they start and they want to build this business and we get so excited for the possibilities for them that we don't hold ourselves in the sense of really guiding them the right way. And we might be great at social media. They might be phenomenal at the phone and we just tell them the way that we know rather than actually working with the way that they're going to do it and the way that they feel comfortable. Because at the end of the day, if they don't get off to that start and they don't start sharing, then it becomes harder and harder and harder. So working with their strengths is clearly something that you're doing by offering them those different options, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And then really holding their hand through it. You know, if they're doing Facebook posts, obviously where they're going, great, these people have commented. What's your relationship? Here's what I would write. You know, like you're literally kind of doing it for them and with them, but for the point of they're going to see it and they're going to see it's the same thing over and over again that they then duplicate. So, yeah, I think, you know, obviously when we're on like an opportunity call and we're showing people, you know, associate through to executive or we're drawing out residual income, the compensation plan, that's all great, but then let's bring it back to let's just start with two. We just want to help two people. So let's do a post. Let's book in a launch. Who are those 10 to 20 people that you'd love and want to help do this? Let's invite them into the page and invite them along to your launch. We just start with two.
I love it. I love it. And then from there, it's just basically working with them and then, correct me if I'm wrong, it's at that stage is probably where you might have a bit of a stronger commitment conversation after they've got started, they've got a couple of people enrolled. Do you then go back and relive that initial conversation to see where they're at, or at what point do you actually
because
have
then
that
you want to 100%, you know, you want to get them moving, you know, you want to show them what's possible and do it while you've got that excitement, that hot period, and then from there it's just moving them more into the systems and the process, which is, you know, Isagenics business, start here, you know, like that is the guide, that's what you're doing with them. So linking them into those tools, but not linking them straight into that and then putting them straight into three Facebook groups and then, you know, sending them five podcasts. We know it's all there and you need to show them that, you know what, the tracks are here to run on, so we're going to do that. But right now we're going to start with you helping two people and then you're going to, then I link them into isagenicsbusiness.com. I link them into our, you know, business Facebook group so they have that leadership around them. They have the systems, the access, everything that they need. But I think it's what Michael Klaus says, Alan, I think you got it from him as well, is it's age-appropriate information.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you start doing the Facebook post or you do a launch and they start helping people, you get a sense for where people are at. Like, I can't teach someone how to do that, but you get a sense of where people are at and what they're going to need. And we have the systems in place to give to them. Just don't go throwing like 10 different ones at them at once. Just keep it really, really simple.
Oh, I love it. Is there anything, I just want to say as well, a big thank you. I didn't do this at the start and I should have. A big thank you to you, because people on the call don't actually probably realise that you're currently calling in from Turkey.
How
is that, firstly?
Amazing. I mean, Istanbul. It is so beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing.
So thank you so much for your time with calling in from Turkey. I know you're having an amazing time over there, and what people probably don't see is that you're working your business every bit as hard, no matter where you are around the globe. I know you travel and you love to travel, but you work it super, super hard, blended into it. Is there anything, like, is there something you'd love to, I've got pages of notes, so recapping, is there anything you'd just really love to emphasize as the one key point? If people just walk away with one thing from this call that you'd love to emphasize for people to do or think or...
Mm-hmm. Can't even remember what I've shared, Alan. I think it would be like, I'm so big on, and I know whatever I've repeated in this are the things that obviously I'm really big on. So the first is, you know, giving yourself that opportunity to go through this whole journey and see it for what it really is. Let go of the instant gratification. Like, understand it's going to take you doing it time and time again. Even where I'm at, like, I'm still an amateur, but I have the mindset of someone being in network marketing for the rest of my life, right? So I think just giving yourself the opportunity to go through the journey, go through the no's, go through the challenges. If you're a leader on this call, which everyone is, but if you then go into that position of, you know, getting a group of people to run together, if you're casting visions for people, if you're, you know, really working hand in hand with people and sprinting, then paint the vision but share the reality. People need to know that. You know, and then you're not going to wonder why in 5 weeks' time you turn around and they're all gone. It's because you've already shared the reality. So when things come up for them, they're going to go, yep, they said that would happen. Brilliant. I'm on track. You know, and just be 100% committed to your goals, to your team, but don't be attached. You know where to put your energy.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. And that aligns with, you know, we hear Warren Lance say it sometimes as well, is the truth is good enough. It's very similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Share the reality. The truth is good enough. We've got the most amazing company, the most amazing compensation plan, the most amazing opportunity, that the reality of what you need to achieve that as well is people will go through it as long as you're upfront with them and don't create those wrong expectations. So I have literally, no kidding, I have 5 pages of notes and scribble and all sorts of stuff over here. I've got to go back through it. It has been an absolute pleasure, Nicole. Thank you so, so much. I am sure that people will be listening to this call on numerous times. I'll replay it a couple of times over and over, and I really appreciate your time. So have an amazing
awesome.
Time in Turkey, and we'll see you when you get back to Australia.
I will. Thank you. Thanks, Alan. I'll talk to you soon, mate.
Bye.